random art tips and rambles with Rafi.
Hola, you amazing artist. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
And today we are going to talk about, what are we talking about today?
Well, I read the blog that you wrote this morning called When the Going Gets Tough, Just Keep Going. Admittedly, when I read the title of it, I was like, ugh. We've heard that a million times, right? Your brain hears that and it's like, delete. You wrote some very insightful things in this blog. And so
it was
very inspiring to me this morning.
Yeah. And for any of you that are not sure what Klee's talking about, I write a blog that I put out every Monday morning. Just has to do with my personal thoughts on life and being an artist, you know, from my perspective. Usually has a lot to do with like different trials and tribulations and successes that we've had.
Yeah. And in your blog, it talks about, you know, how people perceive us as being successful full-time artists. But the reality is that we are tackling one hurdle at a time, one challenge at a time, one obstacle at a time, and I think we're just very persistent humans.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's one of the misconceptions when it was one of the reasons that I wrote about not comparing yourself to other people. Specifically, I'd written it to artists, so it was like, don't compare yourself to other artists. Because it's easy to look at other people and assume that their lives are better than yours. I think we play this comparison game where like we rate our lives based on whether or not someone else's life looks like it's better than ours or a lot shittier than ours, you know, instead of like just looking at our own lives and looking at the way that we are living every single day, we tend to look at other people and compare ourselves to them. So just as an artist, like that sucks because there are a lot of artists that get a lot of notoriety that you look at their work and you start comparing your work to their work and you think to yourself either like, oh man, their stuff is crap. I can't believe that they're so popular or blah, blah, blah. I've had people approach me and say like, okay, well, I really don't like your work. You know, and that screams to me like insecure artist. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you comparing yourself to me? Like, you have your own unique way of doing things, your own awesome way of doing things.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement that you should not compare yourself to other people, and especially as an artist. Artists and art are so unique. The career path of an artist is so unique. There's really no way to make an accurate comparison, especially if you're looking at the highlight reel of someone else's career or just their work. It's better to just focus on your own goals and aspirations.
Yeah, and it's simpler. It's simpler because when you start throwing other people's unique perspective on the world into the mix of your own unique perspective, things get convoluted. They get much more complicated than they need to be. It's much easier to just focus on what it is that you are doing and what it is that you want to focus on versus what so-and-so says it's better to focus on.
And I think you got your mind really on this topic because for the past 2 weeks, we've been taking on the huge challenge of building an e-commerce platform for ourselves. Those of you who follow us may know, and those of you who are new to listening to us may not know, that a couple of weeks ago, we took down our e-commerce shop that was powered by Etsy, and we built ourselves an entirely new e-commerce platform, and we chose to go through WooCommerce, which is amazing and awesome, but very, very hands-on, very, very DIY. You have to know some things,
yeah,
or be willing to fail at some things.
You have to know how to work on a WordPress website, pretty much, with plugins and extensions and different things like that, and understand the inner workings of it. It's not as layman's as opening up an Etsy shop.
No, it's definitely not handed to you. I will give Etsy that. They make it easy. I've heard that Shopify makes it pretty easy. I like WooCommerce, and I'm really excited about what we've done with our store. But for the past couple of weeks, I know myself, definitely, I've had moments where I was like, what am I doing? Can I just go back? It was so much easier before we took this on.
Oh, yeah.
What is this going to be like? It's going to be a big giant failure. And all these different negative thoughts that, you know, I've, as you said, I've taught my brain to tell me those things to keep me safe, to keep me from doing something that my brain is perceiving as dangerous.
The first day that I got started on the switchover, when we were like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do this WooCommerce site. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be easy, because I always talk myself into things being easy, which is the reason that I start them. And after an entire day from 7:30 in the morning till I think it was like 11 o'clock, all the work that I had done just was not getting us anywhere. There were all kinds of glitches and bugs, and things were not working the way that they needed to work. And I couldn't figure out how to transfer over items. And so it was like a full day of just feeling defeated. And I allowed myself to feel defeated. Finally, at 11 o'clock, I think I told you, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done for today. I need to do some mindless task that have nothing to do with any of this stuff so that I could go to bed and wake up refreshed and ready to tackle it again.
Yeah. And as you said in your blog, immediately your brain threw up red flags when you decided to do this.
Oh, like, yeah.
You are venturing into territory that is not comfortable and not safe.
Yeah, yeah, because Etsy was very, very comfortable for us, and it was something that we did for 8 years.
Yeah.
So for 8 years, we knew the ins and outs, so much so that when Etsy, at the beginning of the year, or like even last year, started to change policies that we didn't agree with, instead of like saying like, okay, well, this is wrong, I don't agree with this, we should really consider just having our own shop where we have full control of our store, of our online presence. Instead of doing that, it was like, well, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
there
fine.
Was...
We could roll with that. I hate this, but we could roll with that. And it was almost like we were becoming employees of Etsy versus us being business owners who run our own store. And we were okay with that because it was so comfortable.
Yeah, there was definitely a measure of complacency with us, and a willingness to turn a blind eye to certain things up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Luckily for us, circumstances played out in such a way that we could no longer do that, and we were finally forced to do this thing. But it's been really challenging, and I think we've both had really high and low points through this whole process.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
moments
yeah.
of tremendous celebration when we got a feature to work, and moments of like, this whole thing is a macaroni collage of a website.
Yeah, this is going to look horrible. I don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing, Rafi. You're not good at this stuff. You're going to let everybody down. This sucks. Things are going to go wrong with it. Every single excuse that I had in my mind was something that I was battling constantly as I was working on stuff. And in the beginning, it was overwhelming. And as I kept pushing through it and kept failing and failing and then succeed, eventually the successes started to add up, and there was a tipping point at one point. I think I would say that the tipping point came after the fifth day of just having horrible failures and very small successes, that the successes had added up enough where I was like, okay, I think we could do this. And that was the tipping point. It was like the moment that my mind went from, there's no way you could do this, this is impossible, to, you know what, I think I might be able to do this. Immediately things started to change for me.
Yeah.
I still failed at a certain task that I was trying to do, but the failures became less of a concern, and I was more hopeful.
Yeah, I think I used our previous track record at projects for keeping myself going, and that I know if we keep at this, we are going to figure it out. It's inevitable. Now, how long it's going to take us, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we can look at this whole web building obstacle as kind of any daunting challenge that you might face if you're trying to grow your career, if you're trying to grow as an artist, if you're trying to grow as a human. Like, these daunting challenges are a reality.
I mean, the biggest daunting challenge that I had was becoming a full-time artist. And it was the same thing. It was failure after failure after failure after failure, small success. Failure after failure after failure after failure, small success. And one of the things that I say in the blog is that you know, as long as you don't give up, it's not a failure. It's just a work in progress.
Yeah.
You're just working on it, you know?
And one of the things you also say in the blog is that while it may be perceived from the outside, like, we're going to do this thing, and then they see, hooray, we've done this thing, and it just looks like this seamless, wonderful process that took place over here. Whether you're looking at our past 2 weeks or you're looking at our past 8 years, at the highlight reel, if you will, even though we share all the gritty details,
yeah,
it might seem like it's just smooth sailing over here, but the truth is that it's just a mindset of facing challenges as they come.
Yeah, exactly. And not giving up, not allowing yourself to get overwhelmed by things. Listen, when you want to start out as an artist, there could be nothing that is more overwhelming. You pretty much have the standards of the world against you. People saying, oh, you're going to be an artist? Like, oh, that's impossible. Oh, that, blah. They come out of the woodwork to just tear you down because you're already, and it's easy for them to do that because you're already tearing yourself down. And ironically, those same people, when you do persist, even though you fail and you keep persisting and you keep persisting, those are the people that come out and say like, oh, well, I always believed in you. I knew that you would do something like this someday. You know, it's you get the support in the beginning from yourself. You have to be willing to push through some very, very difficult challenges and believe in yourself without having anyone else believing in you.
That's why I've taken up the practice of not saying much about what I'm doing till after it's done.
See, it's funny you do that. I say exactly what I'm going to do before I do it because I like setting myself, kind of like the book launch. Hey, I'm about to release a series of books, something that I've wanted to do since I was a kid. I've always wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be all these creative things. And so I succeeded in becoming a full-time artist. And one of the things that has been plaguing me is that for the last 8 years, I've been working on a book. And with all the success that I've had when it comes to my art career and all the failures and understanding that whole thing, like you're going to fail, you're going to fail, you're going to fail, succeed, fail, 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 succeed. For some reason, getting the project even started to write the book, to get the book together, I was using excuses to not do it.
Yeah, and you listed some of those excuses. I'm gonna pull up a couple of those excuses right now. Some of the great excuses, and this can apply to really anything that you might try to do. This is harder than I thought it would be. Why is this taking me so long? I'm getting nowhere. I keep failing and screwing it up. I can't do this. What was I thinking? And something you said in an email, too, was, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Who am I to be writing a book?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think we often apply that. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Who am I to blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
whatever the thing is.
It was one of the struggles that I had in the beginning when I was doing the YouTube videos, is that I thought that I needed to be an expert. But there is this misconception of what it means to be an expert. You know,
right. Do you look at that in financial terms or viewership terms or
education or what it is? You know, and everybody has a different perspective on it. And the fact of the matter is that I am an expert at the way that I live my life. Everybody's an expert at the way that they live their life. And especially when you're conscious and you are paying attention to the way that you are living your life and to the way that you do different things and the way that you feel, then yes, you become an expert at living life. And I think that whether or not you're an artist or you have other aspirations, you want to be a musician or you want to be an accountant, whatever it is that you want to be, in pursuing that and in making all the mistakes, that's what makes you an expert. Not somebody who went to school for it. It's funny because in the corporate world, I consider myself an expert in running a business because I was a corporate trainer. And I got to work with a lot of managers that were fresh out of college. And these guys didn't know anything about running a business. They knew what was written down, but they didn't understand that every single situation was unique. And you base those situations and what you did in those situations on your experiences, not on something that you read in a book. And so it's the same thing when you're doing any kind of art career. You are an expert because you base your expertise on your experiences, not on what you learn from a different source.
And to that, actually, I want to add, I think the whole idea of the expert is a little skewed. Like, I think it's a really big misconception that you need to be an expert in order to share something of value. Like, what does expert actually mean?
Yeah.
If you're searching for an expert to guide you as an artist or whatever you're pursuing, to me, that says you're looking for someone to tell you step by step how to do you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that doesn't usually work out very well because you do need to figure out all the things for yourself. But whether you're an expert or not an expert, I think is kind of irrelevant. If you're sharing your perspective on what you've lived on this path as an artist or a human, there's valuable information in there.
Oh,
for
yeah.
other humans
oh, yeah.
to think about and contemplate and apply or not apply to their own.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people that have inspired me through their experiences and through their stories. To be able to look at somebody else's example of what choices they made when something happened in their life, it doesn't mean that I would make the same exact choices, but at least I have a different perspective. Every single situation is unique in its own way. And when you have a variety of perspectives that you could take a look at something with, to maybe change a perspective that you're stubbornly holding on to that is just causing you more problems, it is a huge benefit to know other people's stories and see what it was that they did in those situations and how maybe you could apply that to your life, but not to follow it step by step. It's the same thing as one of the reasons that I don't want to do art tutorials, and it's that I've struggled with that, because I don't want artists to paint what I paint. And not because I'm worried that they're going to steal my ideas or any stupid thing like that. I want them to create what they create. I want them to create their own unique versions of things. There are people that call themselves experts and say, if you're viewing it this way, then you're wrong. If you're viewing it this way, then you're right. And you cannot account for every single situation that you are going to encounter and whether or not something is right or wrong. All somebody could really do is give you their opinion and how it was that they handled a situation.
Yeah, when it comes to experts, I like to remind myself regularly that we are all just humans with opinions.
Yeah.
If you take the advice of an expert and you try to follow it to the letter and something goes sideways on you, that can really set yourself up for failure or disappointment if you're not willing to make your own decisions and follow your own inner guidance, if you will. Now, granted, there are areas in life where experts are totally relevant and greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
Like if I was going to have surgery, I would want an expert
right.
working on my organs.
In that particular surgery, you'd want the expert. If you're going to have surgery in your brain, you don't want a foot doctor to
working on my brain.
Yeah, exactly.
And I certainly welcome the input and opinions and advice of experts, really in any area, but I like to hear all kinds of stories, as you said, whether someone thinks they're an expert or not. It's the different perspectives that lead me to form my own perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you take their stories with a grain of salt because you need to understand that even if they're talking about their expertise and something that they've studied, you're still hearing it through their perspective, through their view of the world, through their own filter. And whatever you're hearing from them is still transferring through your filter. That's one of the reasons that I say, like, always take any expertise or any comments, whether they're negative or positive, with a grain of salt, because you have to consider the source. Is the expertise coming from somebody that you respect, their decisions that they've made in life, that you have watched, that you know them? Or are they somebody who is just listing off PhDs and all kinds of things like that? Because even if you have a brain surgeon, you're going to want to know where they've been. What is their track record? You know, not, I don't just need a certificate on the wall that you're a brain surgeon. I want to make sure that you have a high survival rate with your patients, you know? So like whenever you're hearing somebody's expertise or them giving you advice, then that's something that you want to look at and understand that really ultimately when it comes down to it, it's your perspective that really matters in this. And whether or not you decide to change your perspective or be flexible with it, that's totally up to you. I'm not a rigid person. I'm always willing to see the other side of something and to try to get my negative emotions out of my perspective just so that I can look at something clearly. And so that also applies when I'm trying to do something for myself.
Yeah, and you talk about that in your blog and how your brain can sometimes present itself as the authority and the expert in keeping you safe. And you list some very awesome, very simple ways to like change your perspective and get yourself through a difficult situation. And I think I really needed to read this morning. It was very inspiring. I was thinking that I might read a couple of those things that you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it gets tough, 8 simple things that Rafi reminds himself of to keep going. So the first one is, you're alive right now. And if you are alive, anything is still possible. And it's simple, but that was such a revelation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can do anything. The future is still ahead.
Yeah, I think we get so consumed with, you know, the end of the world cloud floating over us that we forget like, oh, wait a second. As long as I'm alive, anything is possible.
I could totally change gears and go an entirely different direction with my life. I could do it today. The brain likes to be like, this is the way it's always going to be.
Yeah.
The second one is you're expecting too much of yourself. Most successes are not overnight successes. Take your time and find a way to enjoy the slow burn. Keep chipping away little by little and you'll get there, which is another big one because a lot of times I want things to happen right now.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I tend to get really, really disappointed in myself when they don't happen. It's almost like I blame myself. Like I wasn't good enough. And it's a secret way that we like to attack ourselves and tell ourselves that we're not good enough. It's just another way. And it's a matter of catching it and realizing like, you know what? Things don't happen overnight like that.
It's such a cliche thing to say that it's about the journey and not the destination.
Yeah.
But really, would you like to just skip to the end of your story and have already experienced all the things you're going to experience and then it's done and you have the achievements but not the experience of it?
Yeah. I mean,
that doesn't actually sound very good.
It is the ability to look back over the last 8 years of us doing this, over the 10 years of us being together and seeing how amazing our relationship is or our career based on all the failures and all the successes.
Yeah.
It's a culmination of all of those stories that make this moment right now so amazing.
It's true. And what really you remember are the high points and the low points and how beautiful they all are as like a pulse wave of highs and lows.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 3 is remember that you're stronger than you think, that you might privately think to yourself, you can't handle this pressure, but trust me, we all do that. And we can do so much more than we think. And we can especially do more than some people think we can.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really about the naysayers either outside or inside your head.
Oh, yeah. Because if somebody says something outside of your head that bothers you, chances are it means that there's a part of you that believes that what they said is true. Because if somebody comes up to me and they say, man, you're really tall. That's annoying. That wouldn't even bother me at all. It wouldn't strike a nerve. There'd be no buttons pushed because I'd be like, you're an idiot. Like, I don't understand what you're saying, why you're even saying that to me. If they made a comment about something that I was already feeling insecurity about, then yeah, I would push my button and I would find myself getting upset about that.
Yeah. So
anytime that somebody does say something and it pushes a button, it's a good opportunity to look at that and be like, okay, do I believe this?
Definitely. And definitely question your own brain. A few days ago, during the website building process, I had to do something that I didn't want to do. It was going to be very tedious and it was going to take most of a day to do it. And I said to Rafi, I can't do this.
Yep.
And I heard myself say it and I was like, whoa. And I stopped And there was a silence from my side of the room. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. I can do this. Just let me get to it. I can do this. And if this is what I'm doing today, then so be it, because the payoff is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And exactly. I did it.
Yeah, you did. You did. You rocked it.
Number four is, even when things seem to be falling apart, you have reason to smile. And you say, this one is tricky. And it is tricky. I agree with you. Don't lie to yourself with false positive thoughts, but find a genuine reason to smile and change perspective. Meaning, don't slap a happy face sticker on a boiling pot in your brain.
Yeah.
That everything is great.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, everything is fine. Your eyes twitching uncontrollably.
It doesn't work.
No, it does not work. And I think that's one of the misconceptions about positive thinking. That's why a lot of people have gotten really discouraged with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think that it's tricking yourself into being positive when you're not feeling positive. And that is not going to work. It might feel like it works for some people, but it doesn't. And you could see it coming a mile away. You have to genuinely leave whatever the situation is that you're in and find something that you genuinely feel good about.
And it doesn't have to be this giant life-altering thing. Sometimes when I've had a hard day, I lay down in bed at night and I'm like, man, our bed sheets are so good.
Yeah.
My pillow is so luxurious.
It's the little things that really stop it. Sometimes it's just standing outside, and when it's not a billion degrees outside, standing outside and taking in a deep breath, closing my eyes and listening to nature and looking up at the sky. It's sometimes saying something that makes you smile, and that smile just pulls me out of whatever it is that I'm in. It's finding the things in life that you appreciate and make you happy. And they don't have to be big things. It could be running water. You could be totally appreciative of the fact that you have running water and you get to bathe inside. And we don't live in a society where if you bathe every day, you get burnt at the stake. I mean, there's all kinds of things to be really, really grateful about. But it's not about faking it. It's about finding something that you genuinely feel good about, something that genuinely makes you smile.
So number five is, don't compare yourself to people who you think are doing awesome. Instead, I think, if they're doing great, then I can too. And also, you haven't walked in their shoes, so you don't know how they feel, but you do know how you make yourself feel when you do something dumb, like feel bad comparing yourself to someone you don't know anything about. So
yeah.
Basically, you don't know what their highs and lows are, what their challenges and successes have been. And it's really never a feel-good place to compare yourself to someone else.
No, no, it's not.
Even if you think you're doing better than someone, that's still not a good feeling
place. It's a false sense of accomplishment. Because if you base your self-worth based on how much better you're doing than someone else, then immediately that's a double-edged blade. Because the moment that someone is doing better than you, then your entire feelings about yourself will collapse.
Right.
So it's not a good place to find your self-esteem.
Number six is, I can find a different how. Take a deep breath. Do number four, which is to find something small to smile about. And then find a different way. I love what you say here. Especially if you've been knocking on a wall for days, which brings up a visual image of standing in a tunnel knocking on a wall for days on end. You may just need to move to the left about 3 feet and knock on the door. That's a really good illustration of what we can do to ourselves sometimes, of beating our head against a wall.
Yeah.
And not even looking around to see that there's a different option.
I mean, and that's where you've seen me working on something, and I'll look over at you and I look all frustrated. I'm like, I'm going to take a break. And then I step away and I do something completely different, something that I enjoy, something that you know, I just stop, take a breather, make sure that I have an appreciation for life and change my perspective. You have to be willing to change your perspective and be flexible on things, because a lot of times, man, we stubbornly hold on to things that we believe are true, or that we think that that's the way it's supposed to be. And all we're doing is knocking our head on a wall, when all you got to do is move to the left and there's the door. Just knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on the door. You don't have to try and enter this building by going through a wall. You could easily just shift your perspective a little bit and walk in through the door.
And you go on to say, for this to work, I have to be honest with myself, because I can easily deceive myself into stopping. It's important to remember why you started whatever you started and find your why. Then check with yourself that you haven't deviated from that purpose with your current project.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, a lot of times things could easily get convoluted and complicated, especially when you're taking in other factors as you're going. Because when you start a project that you don't understand, you start looking to other sources for advice. And in looking to other sources for advice, there are so many different perspectives and so many different ideas, and you're not solid on your own. Or, you know why you started it in the first place, but as you start looking at all these different sources, things get a little complicated and you might end up getting a little lost and putting a lot of time and energy into a project that maybe is not what you wanted to start in the first place.
Yeah. So basic rule here is check in with yourself frequently to make sure that what you're doing is still aligned with your overall reason for being an artist or whatever career path you're on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the final one, which I love and I've done and it works for me, is to take a break and work on something that will make you feel like a badass. You say, we all have things we're really good at, and sometimes I'll take a break from the thing that I'm currently failing at and work on something that makes me feel awesome. And I am forking awesome break. We need the reminder sometimes that we're awesome. And I find that it is best to remind yourself by doing something you are a rock star at, even if it is totally unrelated. Yeah, I've done that when I'm really stuck and having a hard time. I'll sometimes work on music because music comes very naturally to me.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'll sometimes work on a piece of jewelry that I know is going to turn out totally awesome so I can look at it and be like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are times where when I'm feeling overwhelmed with a project, I might actually go and clean the house because I'm really good at cleaning the house.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that. I know how to do that. It's a simple, mindless task, but I can do that really well. Or I'll go work on something that I'm really good at, really comfortable working on, or I'll sketch something, or I'll write something. I'll do something that I'm super good at. That makes me feel good, get myself out of the funk that I'm in. Because that's what it is. You end up going into a funk, and then at that point, that's where you just make things harder for yourself.
Yeah.
Because now you're getting upset. Now you're getting angry. Now you're getting discouraged. Now you're thinking all the negative thoughts that come along with failing at something and not believing that you could do it. And it's a totally different place than doing something and feeling like a badass.
And it seems really simple, but it really does work. If you can get your brain out of a place of discouragement and into a place of feeling confident once again, then it does do a better job of tackling something that you're not confident at. And there's science backing this.
Uh-huh.
There have been countless studies that have shown that if volunteers, test subjects, if they do something that makes them feel really confident before tackling a really difficult task, they perform that difficult task with much greater ease.
Exactly. And the same thing happens. A lot of times you're performing a difficult task and you've already gone down that rabbit hole where things are difficult. And if you pull yourself away from it, and that's why I say, like, do something where you're completely involved in it, something like cleaning the house or working on an art project, because at that point, every single facet of your capacity is going to be focused on that. And that way, you are shifting your perspective and you're shifting your energy from discouragement to empowerment. And that's really what matters when you're trying to do anything, whether or not you're trying to create an art career or you're just trying to work on a painting that you've never done before or a piece of jewelry that you've never tried before. The difference is whether or not you're feeling discouragement or you're feeling empowerment. And that's the simplicity of it.
And I love that because all the points that you make in this blog that you wrote are simple. And I think a lot of people would discount them as oversimplified, but the fact of the matter is our brains are, in fact, quite simple.
Oh, yeah.
And the last thing that you mention is usually right before you start to feel much better, you hit your lowest point of despair.
Oh, yeah. That's why a lot of people have a hard time with these things because they think that, okay, well, I'm going to encourage myself. And then you start encouraging yourself and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you think that that's it. But there is another hurdle to go through, which is the final hurrah that your brain throws at you because it's trying to keep you safe. You know, you're about to do something that is scary, and we're not being chased by saber-toothed tigers or fighting for our lives every single day. So our flight or fight system takes these small things like, all right, I'm going to go to this art reception and I'm terrified to go. And next thing you know, your body, you're in fight or flight mode. You're physically terrified, fearing for your life. And your body can't really tell the difference between whether or not something you're in mortal danger or you're just afraid of saying something wrong.
No, it really feels the same. When I was getting ready to take point on one of our YouTube videos recently, I was brushing my hair and my body went into fight or flight mode, even though I thought I was feeling confident and ready. And it feels the same as a life or death survival situation.
Right. It does.
It's pretty interesting to witness.
I mean, and we'll bring it to a close here, you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I know that we were a little bit all over the place. So that's where we're at right now. We have our website is live. I just launched a pre-ad thing for the book that I'm going to be writing, which is The Rogue Artist Survival Guide. Our store so far has been working great, and we've gotten a lot of support from a lot of you guys out there just going on there and helping us to figure out whether or not it's working great and working out the bugs. We're doing a 25% off discount now. For our test customers, there are guinea pigs. A lot of what we went through this week is the reason that I wrote that blog. I had to follow those 8 points this week several times throughout the week, several times throughout the day even, just to keep myself in a better place than I could have been. Because I could have totally taken this whole situation and been a victim instead of, you know, feeling empowered. And I had moments where I felt like a victim, but luckily I was able to bring myself out of them.
And at the end of it, I said, I really enjoyed building this e-commerce site with you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all of it.
Yeah.
Even the times where we were like, what the?
Yep. And that's why, I mean, if there's anything that we could give as advice to anybody is whenever there is something that you just don't think that you have the capability to do it or that it's not possible for you, I suggest you just jump in. Just jump in and understand it's not going to be easy. You're going to have pitfalls. You're going to fail. And you're going to have to pick yourself up off the ground and wipe the mud off your face and keep going. But there is something so powerful and satisfying at the end of it, because no matter what, unless you give up, unless you stop, it's not a failure. No matter how many failures you have moving forward, it's not a failure. It's just a work in progress.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think we can end on that note.
Yep, we can end on that note. And thank you so much for listening, you guys. You guys are absolutely amazing, and I love you guys. And thank you for all the support that you've shown us during the last few weeks. And that's it. Say goodbye, Klee.
Good day, everyone.
Adios.